This week's parsha is Noah, and of course, in the parsha, God famously destroys the world, totally obliterates everyone who's a living, everyone who's alive, every animal, every human being, except of course for Noah and his family, and the animals that he was able to save and to place in the Teva and the Ark. And the question, of course, or one of the major questions that the Torah immediately has to address is, why does God do this? God has just created a world. We learned in last week's Parsha and Bereishis, a world that God called Tov, Tov Mo'od, right? Every day, it's good, it's good, it's exceedingly good. And then a short while later, God says, no, it's not good. Right, and God says that he must start anew. God must destroy everything that he created. And the truth is, the Torah already begins to share Hashem's feelings and his discontent with what is going on at the end of last week's parsha in Bereishis, in which we're told that "Vayhi ki achel ha'adam larov al pnei adamah," as man began to increase upon the earth, uvanos yuldu lahem, they began to have daughters. Again, all this requires a lot of further commentary. Of course, they had daughters, they had sons, they had daughters. And yet it says, Vayiru b'nei Elohim espinosa adam, these people called the b'nei Elohim. Again, it's unclear exactly who these people are from the simple reading of the Torah reading. When they see the daughters of man, Kitovosena, for they are good. What occurs? They took for them wives, whoever they chose. And you get the sense that without permission, grabbing women, forcibly taking women, they engage in this behavior, in this practice, and Hashem is not happy. Hashem says, you know, you can't test me forever. I have my limits. At a point, I'm not going to be able to handle this anymore. And then we hear about these things called the Nephilim that were in the earth on those days. There's Giborim, there's mighty people. Something not good is going on. And Vayar Hashem, God sees ki rabba ra'as adam ba'aretz, God sees that man is evil in the earth. All his thoughts are evil every day. God, there's no positivity that's emanating from man. Vayinacham Hashem, and God regrets, he relents, ki asa adam ba'aretz, and he made man. Vayitzyatzev elibo, and it gives an emotion to God. God becomes sad. Vayomer Hashem, emchas adam, I'm going to wipe out man. Shibarasi, man that I created, me al pnei adamah. The adam, behemah, from man to animal. Kinichamti, I regret, ki asisin, that I've made man. So that's the end of last week's parsha. And again, but from a simple reading, it's hard to understand what exactly is the problem. Again, there's these different giants, Nephilim. There's men seeing women and taking them for whoever they wanted. And so then we move into this week's parsha. And we're introduced to Noah, and as soon as we're introduced to Noah and to his family, his three sons, we're told Hamas. We're told that the earth became corrupt before God, and that the earth was full of Hamas, full of Hamas. And then God sees that the earth has become corrupted. Man has corrupted his way. God then says to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. Why? Again, because the earth is full of Hamas. And so immediately Rashi, you know, comments, you know, what's this Hamas that's emphasized now twice? The Rashi tells us, gezel, thievery, stealing things. Shinamaru minachamasa shir bekfeya mcpostik in Yona. And the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin says that was the final Gzar Din. Whatever all these other things were bad that were sort of described and alluded to at the end of Parshas Bereishis, beginning of Parshas Noach, the final Makom HaPatish, the final hammer blow was this Chamas, was stealing. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it doesn't seem so convincing. It doesn't seem like that's the reason, because they were taking things. Again, it's not a nice thing to do. It's one of the Ten Commandments, right? Lo tigzol, not to lo signov, not to steal. But that's it, because they're taking things, because people are stealing other people's property. The earth should be destroyed. So it begs the question, like, what exactly is the problem here? So I was looking around today, and I saw a very interesting comment from the Netziv. The Netziv says, or suggests, it's more than just stealing. But it's let me just read the words. We'll see how he understands it. The gezel v'zakas anashim chamas gorim lohir din shemaim harbei. He says, when something is taken from you, right, when you feel violated, when someone takes away something that you worked to hard to earn, something that you purchased, so it's very upsetting. It's very hurtful, and what results is crying out. Right, you cry out. You're so pained. There are tears. There's such sadness. And he says, when you cry out, when there are tears, when you feel violated in such a way that which is yours is taken from you, and your privacy and your possessions and that what you feel is a part of you has been compromised, and it causes you to have such an emotional, painful reaction. So he says that those tears is lahayir din shemayim, that awakens the judgment in heaven. Harbei, very much so. And then he says, ukamasha kasav, as I wrote la'el earlier, dalad yud. He said, look in perek dalad, pasuk yud, chapter 4, verse 10. So I was like, okay, what's he getting at? So because you cry out, that's the issue? So I looked at where he quoted earlier. So you have to go back to Perek Dal Pasuk Yud. That's last week's Parsha. And last week's Parsha is Bereishis, of course. And Perek Dal Pasuk Yud is the story of Cain and Havel. Of course, we know that Cain gets up one day, seems to be jealous of his brother Havel, and he kills Havel. And he's punished. And he's punished. God says, where's your brother? Hey, Hevel Achicha. And Cain famously says, Hashem Achi Anochi, am I my brother's keeper? But Yomer, God says, Masita, what did you do? What did you do? So you would think God would say, what did you do? You killed your brother. How could you kill your brother? Right, that should be like, what did you do? You killed, how could you, you murdered, you're the first murder in history. But interesting, this is what Sif picks up upon. What does God say? What did you do? Kol, the me'achicha tzoki me'lai min adama. The sound, the voice of the blood of your brother is crying out to me from the earth. Now, Rashi famously explains here that what this is a reference to is the future descendants of Havel, that the kol de me'achicha, the voice of the bloods of your brother, bloods in plural, all the people that would have been born, and Cain and Havel lived and had children, you would have had descendants throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia. So all those people never to be born, they're crying out. That's what Rashi says. The Netziv, in his commentary, says the following. He says, "Tzokim alai, they're crying out to me. Kovlim alai al shamarti v'ata tim shavot. Ohu ki inyan ki im tzok yitzak alai v'shamati." He says what this is in reference to is a pasuk later on in the Torah, in a Sefer Shemos, where God says, if they will cry out to me, then I will listen. It's Akilah. If they'll cry out to me. Now this, again, is a little bit, I sort of follow the where he's going with this. He cites a pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim. Parashas Mishpatim, in Sefer Shemos, in Perachav Dalad, it talks about how we're not allowed to afflict and to harm the number one, the ger, the convert, the stranger. So the ger lo sona, lo chachatzano, kirim yisem beretz mitzrayim. Remember, you were also strangers in the land of Egypt. And then it says, kol amanav yasom, any widow and any orphan, lo tianun, you shall not afflict. You're not allowed to afflict any widow or any orphan. Rashi says, hu adin b'chol adam. We're not just limiting this to widows and orphans, any person you're not allowed to afflict. Ela shadibar kostabo veb, but the Torah is talking about often what happens. If he shaya to shushe kof, the dover motzi la nosam. Sometimes the widow and orphan is not protected. It's easy to take advantage of them. And so the Torah just gives an example of something that may be more common to occur. But it's just any person. You're not allowed to afflict and to harm. And we generally assume this is for even to words to cause pain to another human being. And now here's the key. Ki'im tsa'okit tsa'akalai. Because if as a result of you causing them pain, you harming them, you not being sensitive to them, and doing things to them that cause them great distress and causes tear, if they will cry out to me as a result of your actions, I will hear their crying. I will hear see their tears, and I will hear their pain and their groaning. And God says, I will get exceedingly angry. And what's going to happen? I would say, what's going to happen? God is going to reward them, or God is going to, give you a little patch for doing this. God will, cause you to lose some money. God will make you sick for a couple days. What does it say? I will kill you with the sword, God says. If you do this, but not as if you do this, and as a result, they cry out, right? That there's such pain that it caused them to cry out to me. That warrants your destruction. Your wives will become widows, and your children, your sumim, will become orphans. And so the Netziv, again, starting off in our parashas Noach, who seems to be bothered by the question that I asked. What? Zela, stealing, that sealed the fate of the generation of the Mabel, the flood. That's why the entire world was destroyed. So he says, it can't just be that it was stealing. It was the tears. It was the pain. It was the crying out to God. And he says, look back in my commentary with the story of Cain and Hevel. Because there, again, he's bothered by God's reaction. God says to Cain, what did you do? He doesn't say, you murdered your brother. He says, call to me, Achich. I hear the voice of the blood of your brother. And therefore, he quotes this pasuk in Shemos about when you cause someone, you afflict someone, and they cry out as a result. And if you do that, I'm going to destroy you. So explains in the Tziv, back in with Cain and Hevel. The Mevur, it's clear. The Avo Gav Shein Gufa Avo Nosein Lahanish Kolkach. That sometimes the sin that you commit is not a good thing, but it's not necessarily warrant such a terrible punishment. Some sins are worse than others. So, listen, you call someone a bad name, that's a terrible thing. But to destroy you with a sword, right, you steal. Not terrible. But to destroy an entire world? No, you don't destroy an entire world for that. The Kalmakom, nonetheless, suggests in the Tziv, his theory. Hatzaka, it's the crying out. That's the issue. If what you do causes someone to cry out in pain, cry out to God, Mivia she'eshma lo'onosh. God says, I'm going to hear that crying, and I'm going to punish as a result. Kach odi Hashem devarav Ela. When Cain killed Hevel, that was not going to bring about some of the punishment that actually resulted to Hevel, the curse and the punishment. Elamasha Domin talking about, rather it was the blood that cried out that caused the punishment. Behind him is shown to be Emesayakayan Kedin Horik Bishogeg. Because after all, God could have exonerated Cain. Right? It's not so clear that Cain should be guilty. Yes, he murdered his brother, but it never happened before. Right? It wasn't like necessarily that there was a decree against murder. No, there was not really God gave the ten, that God hadn't given, you know, Adam the Ten Commandments yet. You know, and who knows that Cain would even know that what he did would kill his brother, and there was no such concept of death before this, of anyone dying. So maybe he would hit his brother with a sword, but who said that would kill him? How's he supposed to know? And says the Nativ, at the worst it was like shogeg. You could say it's accidental. You know, but to say that he was amazed that he intentionally murdered his brother knowing what would happen, it never happened before. How was he supposed to know that this was going to end his life? And he concludes and he says, "Ubetos havana b'mamar Hashem l'hayam agil lo ela onish novenad behind ugalus." The worst thing that was going to happen to Cain was that he was going to have to wander the earth, send into exile, like someone who kills b'shogeg kills accidentally, and they have to go to Ari Miklat, to the city of refuge. Ava, however, what made things so much worse was hatzaka, was the crying out, goyim lekalel v'linkom nakein. That resulted in the curse. That resulted ultimately in several generations of Cain himself being killed. Now cursed are you from the earth that opened up its mouth to collect your brother's blood, and life is going to be extremely now difficult for you. So the Nativ suggests it's not always the act per se, but it's the impact. It's the effect that it has on the people who have experienced your harsh actions. If it caused them to cry out, then God is going to respond. And I would like to suggest, just to support this idea. So first of all, you know, famously, there's a very famous story in the Torah where, because of crying out, Hashem, and only at this point, Hashem responds. Of course, this is in reference to the story of Mitzrayim, the Jews in Egypt, that their backbreaking labor for years, and for day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, what ultimately causes God to respond and to rescue the Jewish people? So Hashem tells us very clearly. We say this at the Seder itself, right? At the Seder, we describe the experience of the Jewish people in Egypt, and that how Hashem ultimately rescues the people and brings about the ten plagues. So what occurs? So number one, God at the burning bush says the following. He says to Moshe, what's the first observation he says to Moshe? Vayomer Hashem, Ra'or Isis Ani Ami Ashira B'Mitzrayim. I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, but it's not enough that I've seen their affliction. What else? Vezakasam Shamati. But I've heard their cries. It's their cries that I have heard. And then at the Seder, when we invoke the comments of the farmer who brings his the first fruits, that brings the bikorim, and he recounts the story of the Exodus, so there as well, what is recited? Bayareinu al son of Mitzrim v'anunu, right? The Egyptians they afflicted us and they placed upon us avodah kasha, hard backbreaking work. Banitzak el Hashem elokei avosenu. And we cried out. We cried out to Hashem, our God, by Yishma Hashem Eskolenu, and Hashem heard our voices, by Yaris Anyenu, he saw our affliction, Eskolenu Lachatzenu. It's because Hashem heard our cries. Right? It's at that moment, that's when God responds. When there's tears, when there's cries, when there's pains, when a voice is emitted and we express what we can't even say with words, we just shout out and cry what we're feeling inside. When it gets to such a state, that's when there's not only is there a divine response, but that's when that divine response becomes so much more magnified. Magnified sometimes in a negative sense of destruction, of destroying an entire earth, and magnified in the case of our experience in Egypt, of Hashem rescuing us and pulling us out of that terrible, horrible situation. And just to one more point to reinforce this idea, I saw a powerful medrash. You know, there's another, there's several other famous cries. One famous cry that occurs in Sefer Bereishis of someone crying out is not someone who we usually celebrate. In fact, we don't celebrate this person, but nonetheless, he does cry out, and that is Esav. Esav, right? Yaakov's brother, Esav. And where does Esav cry out? So, call the story after Yaakov dresses up to be Esav and comes and brings a food to his father Yitzchak, and Yitzchak again is not certain, but ultimately Yitzchak gives him the special bracha. Well, all of a sudden, a little while later, who shows up back from the field? Esav. Esav returns from the field, and all of a sudden, what happens is that Yacharad Yitzchak Charadag Dalah Yitzchak. All of a sudden, oh my goodness, he realizes what's happened, that Yaakov has come in, has tricked him, and has pretended to be Esav when he's really Yaakov, and he tells Esav, "I'm sorry, I already gave the bracha away." What does the pasuk then say? This is Perachav Zion, pasuk Lamadal, Kishmo Esav es divrei aviv. When Esav heard the words of his father, Vayitzak Zaka Gedola Umara Ad Ma'od, he cries out exceedingly bitter tears. Imagine the scene and what Esav experienced at that moment, or how he felt. And so, whatever happened with those tears, with that cry, so most of Mephoshim are quiet, but I saw the Medrash says something quite frightening. Medrash Rabbah here in Parshas Toldos tells us that what resulted of these tears? Zaka achas hizik Yaakov Esav. Yaakov caused Esav to cry. Right? And in this one incident, he caused Esav to cry this one moment. Tichsiv kishmo Esav es divrei aviv. This is in Parsha Samach Zion, this is in Dalet. So, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Right? So this one time, Yaakov, through his actions, caused Esav to cry terribly. Veheicha nifalo. Where was Yaakov paid back for doing this? Does Yaakov and some of his guilt was guilty of causing his brother to be such pain and to cry to such an extent? Where was Yaakov paid back? Says the Medrash, Bishushan Habira. In Shushan, the Purim story. Shinamar Vayitzak Zaka Gedolo Mara Ad Ma'od. And there was terrible cries. Right, when Haman issued his decree, right, the Jewish people cried out. So we were paid back for the tears that we caused Yaakov, our forefather, called his brother Esav. So what I want to conclude and suggest, based upon this insight of the Tziv, which is I will admit is a novel insight. The Tziv, I think, is bothered by our question: how can it be that Gezel, that stealing, that steals the fate? You know, I would think idolatry, rampant murder, but stealing. And so then Sid says it's got to be more than just stealing. It's got to be, must be people crying out the result that things were taken from them, that they felt violated. And therefore he says, well, look, we already have an example of this early in the Torah. of where tears make such a difference, where the tears penetrate the heavens, and that God responds to a tear, God responds to cries. And we see this in a negative sense with the Cain killing Hevel. We see this in a more positive sense of the Jewish people crying out in Mitzrayim in Egypt. And God himself says this regarding afflicting the widow and the orphan and then the ger, right? It's not that you afflict them, it's but when they cry out, that's when God, I'm going to destroy you, God says. It's like he destroyed the earth with the cries, according to the Nativ. If we cause other people harm and cause them to cry out, then cause massive utter destruction. And I just want to suggest, well, maybe that's then what tefillah is all about. Maybe the end of the day, this alludes to the power of prayer and of tefillah. The Rambam tells us at the beginning of Hilchos Panos, of a fasting, mitzvah asayim in a Torah, it's a positive commandment, lizok, to cry out, lariya b'chotzotros, and to sound the horns, right? And it's an allusion to the shofar. After all, what's the shofar in Rosh Hashanah? It's a yavava, it's a tear, it's a cry. Right? It's in many levels, it's a more powerful emotion than words. Right? It's your inner essence coming out. It's what you feel deep within your soul. You're just crying out to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That sense of despair, your inner feelings emanating deep from within you, that penetrates the heavens. And that's the power of the shofar. But that's what tefillah is. That's what ultimately what prayer is. And therefore, the Rambam says in Hilchos Tanios, it's a positive commandment to cry out, al kol tzara shetovati, when pain, when there's great challenge that it's affecting the community, we must cry out, shenemar tzara tzareas, klemar yosem b'chatzotros, klomar kol davar shiitzar lachem kigom b'tzaros, b'davir v'arba, b'tzuros v'davir arba, whenever there's plague, and there's all types of troubles that face you. Zaku, cry out. Hariyu, blow shofar, sound the shofar. Darchei Atshuva, this is part of the repentance process, says the beginning of Hilchos Tanios, according to the Rambam. Bizman shetavot tzar, whenever there's troubles, vizaku, cry out. Cry out. Avon lo yizaku, but if you don't cry, have a lawyer, you don't sound the shofar, and you just sort of ignore it. You say, oh, this is all happenstance and that there's no, God can't get involved. Achzaris, that's cruel to think that. Just going to continue your bad action. I think what emerges from all of this ultimately is the power of prayer of tefillah. That our rabbis tell us, Rachmana Livaboy, God wants our hearts. He wants our essence. He wants our soul. He cares deeply about our emotions and our feelings, and that's what ultimately touches God on some level. That's what penetrates the highest levels of the heavens. It forces the Nativ to suggest that must be ultimately what the Gezda, what the Hamas is all about. It's what how it impacted the people who were affected by the Hamas. That they must have cried out and wailed, and God heard those tears, just like He heard the tears of Hevel, and just like He hears the tears of the widow and the orphan who are being afflicted, and just like He heard the tears of the Jewish people, and just like He even heard the tears of Esav, even the tears of Esav penetrate heaven and can make an impact, and. He reminds us about how careful we need to be towards other people, not to cause them pain. But in a positive sense, it also reminds us and empowers us about the power of tefillah, right? Of davening with sincerity, with great emotion and fervor, and to express with whatever is deep within us, our innermost feelings and emotions, and our pains and our worries and our concerns, and to cry out to Hashem. Because when we cry out to Hashem, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, it's clear in the Torah, that's what penetrates the heavens. That's what the what impacts Hashem. That's when touches Hashem, and that's when Hashem responds. Hopefully not in an destructive way and in punishment, but rather in a positive sense. And when we need Hashem, we need to turn to Hashem for help and assistance. Hashem will see what we're experiencing, but most of all, he'll hear the emotions. He'll see the tears and hear the cries, and Hashem will respond, God willing, favorably to our requests. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.